Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
What was that?
I guess. You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont. This is Audrey Newmont.
Hello again.
And this is Mainstream Metaphysics. This is Tuesday night in Los Angeles. And again, a few weeks into our new time at 7 p.m. instead of 8 p.m. I kind of like 7 p.m.
I do too.
You know, it's post-dinner. It's not too late. And it's not, well, and for people back east, and thank you for those of you that watch on the East Coast.
Kirby.
It's better for you because you get done at 11 instead of midnight. So I think everybody's happier with the new time. Lot going on today, a lot going on astrologically, a lot going on numerologically. And when Audrey gets early into her day, and I mean early in the morning, not 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and says, what are the numbers today? That means something is going on and a lot is going on.
And I don't know about you guys, but this has been an unusual day. It started out with clients and their stuff, and it has just been an interesting day, to say the least.
Exactly. So a couple of things before we jump into it. I want to go back to last week and thank Anita Rosenberg for being on the show. And as promised, Anita is coming back on September the 1st. And she will be doing my Chinese Bazi chart. And I want to thank Anita because as we were talking about house blessings, house cleansings, this past weekend, she referred a client to me because I do the pentagram ritual to go in and cleanse a house, bless a house, and it did need it. And turnabout is fair play. I said to the client, yes, the spiritual part is done and they got the spirits out of here. But you need to go back in and you need to get Anita, because I don't know if you know this, but in your house, if you have way too many doors, and not the typical, you know, a bedroom door, things like that, but there's so many hallways and so many doors, too many doors create arguments. And the energy in that house was argumentative, along with the fact that it was a 16-7 address, and we're going to talk a little numerology tonight.
And along with the fact that there were all kinds of weird entities flying around in there too, I think, right? You came home exhausted from that one.
I had to deal with a few things, but it was much better by the time I was done.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Then for next week, our guest is crystal guru David Geiger. And I've known David for a chunk of years. A lot of our viewing audience knows who David is. And he will be on and talking about the power of crystals, especially in today's world, how they affect us, and the positive effect of crystals on COVID. This is part of what David wants to talk about. And also, we're going to get into some lofty mysticism with David and some things that he's been reading and studying that are more prophetic. David is always interesting conversation. And we could have David on 4 shows in a row and never be done.
Remember he did that group at our house forever ago, and
yes,
it was just fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. David, he doesn't do that anymore, but he's a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. So great show to look forward to next week. Now, for now, we have this week and today. So Audrey's day did start off crazy, and I could hear what was going on. And so if you want to do a little universal numerology and just ask as per the calendar, you know, what was today's numerology? So we take today, which is August 18th, 2020, and we simply, as you see I did, you slide the 8 over, that's August, you slide the 18 over, and then you take the year and add it up where 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 0 equals 4, 8 and 18 is 26, and 4 is 30. So today is a 30 over 3 day, which means a lot of drama. Okay. So if you early this morning, was there drama with people? And if that was the case, then that's why, because that means the number three represents people in communication. And it means that people are, you know, in, out, good, bad, high, low, they're all over the place. Because when you bring the number zero into numerology, zero, it creates an all or none effect. Okay. And so people were very all or none as it goes.
But the really good thing is it was that with people, but it was like a good that with people. I mean, I held it at a bay and I dealt with it.
Well, the other thing is the number three, most of the time represents optimism and being positive. Mm-hmm. So, and also with the number three, it does mean that people are out there, they expose, you know, they want to be with each other. But that's not where it stops. Okay?
He hasn't told me any of this. He told me right before the show, it's going to be a lot about you today. And I was like, really?
But wait,
right,
there's
before
more.
The show, you're telling me this.
Yes, and wait, there's more. So today, and if you read my Facebook post just a half an hour ago, you knew that today, and will be in, let me say, it's 7:41 p.m. West Coast time, which is roughly in half an hour, we will have a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's a new moon in Leo, which that is a very assertive new moon. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, Leo doesn't back down to anything.
Leo's like the lion, girl.
It is the lion. All right? Yeah. And also, Leo represents the fifth house in astrology, which is your creative juices. It's Leo is fire. So it brings out the fire in people. It can create new romantic patterns, new creative patterns. But always remember on a new moon, that is a new lunar cycle, which means we're setting things in motion. The full moon is when we culminate. Of course, the full moon is in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So this is a very potent new moon. And in Los Angeles, you know, when I did the chart, it's not just a Leo new moon. The rising sign in Los Angeles is Aquarius, which means that this can send some very unique humanitarian energies in motion.
Yeah.
So this could be really positive. However, this is also a time here in LA to reflect, because the sun and the moon are sitting at a little more than 26 degrees of Leo. Mm-hmm. And the rising of Los Angeles is just a little over 29 degrees of Aquarius. So we have a sun-moon conjunction opposing the ascendant. So this is really a time, you know, here in LA to sit and really be with thoughts on what can I do to help the masses. All right. Now, wherever every time zone that you shift, it's going to change the rising sign, you know, backwards and forwards. You know, on the East Coast, it's a different rising sign. In Hawaii, that's a different rising sign. But in Los Angeles, those of us that are here, this new moon has not just got to be about us, it's got to be about the masses. All right. So keep that in mind. Now,
think about how you can help people.
Yes. Think about how you can help people. Now, for you, Audrey.
Don't I have a Leo rising? Isn't that my rising sign?
Yes. And this is part of why you got set off today, because the sun-moon alignment was taking the moon this morning when you were having stuff with clients. The moon was sitting right on your ascendant, your Leo rising, which means that you were attracting all these strong emotions coming from people. So that's part of.
Could this be like days prior it starts applying?
Yeah, when you're talking about how fast the moon moves, yeah, a couple days when the moon is applying into aspect. Now, wait, there's more.
Oh, yay.
Yes, it's all about Audrey. So up until 3 weeks ago, your progressed moon, which is the inner moon that moves 1 degree per month, went from the safety and security of Taurus into Gemini. So if you've noticed in your life and things, especially you as a woman, as a mother, about 3 weeks ago, there are some interesting things that some hell broke loose. All right. Mm-hmm. Now you have to be careful because Gemini in the 10th house has a lot to do with your reputation, and your progressed moon will be in your 10th house, which is career and reputation, for another 22 months. And that entire time, it's in the sign of Gemini, which means that you're either going to lose your mind or you're going to attract a lot of crazies, that they're going to come out of the woodwork.
I have said to Nick, he has clients that are like, oh, I broke a fingernail. And I have clients, it's like, they got some serious stuff going on. And, you know, it's a big deal. And I know there's a lot of you out there that know what I mean. I mean, it's like, it's a hard moment right now for a lot of people. And, you know, I feel very blessed that they put their faith in me. But, you know, I get in there in the trenches with them, and it's, you know, it's a process of working through these things. And not that I get in their stuff. I literally am a practitioner, so I hold them in the highest. I see what's going on. I get it. I've got compassion. I've got empathy. And I hold them in the highest, to be clear. I don't get in the trenches like I'm upset with them.
No, not at all. Not at all. Here's more about you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this stuff needs to be explained because a lot of you ask me questions and want to explain it this way. There is a reason why these things happen. They're not an accident. Mm. So the other thing for you, Audrey, is that in 17 months, roughly 17, 18 months, your progressed moon in this time will align opposite your progressed sun. And that means you go into your own personal full moon. So in a year and a half, you're really visible. Mm. All right. But when the moon is in the gibbous phase, where it is now and where it has been for a couple years, that means that you want to do things your way. You don't want anyone questioning the way you do it, and you do it one step at a time. So when it comes to a lot of things Audrey does, I've noticed that, you know, month by month, she is sort of uncompromising, okay? It's like this, very dogmatic. And that's because you're doing things the way you want to do them, and that feels right. And when a person is in the gibbous phase, what they believe is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And you're not going to want anyone coming to you and say, why didn't you try it like this? Because the gibbous phase is lining things up to see how they work so that when you go into your full moon, which will be in a year and a half, this is all in place and you're ready to be public with it.
So is that why I haven't wanted the publishers to publish the book for so long?
Yes, because you're still in a fine-tuning phase.
All right.
Definitely.
How many of you out there have written a book? Write it in the comments. It's just like it's a task. Yeah, you wrote a book. And you wrote a great book.
Thank you. It's around here. Wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's going.
And this goes back to my numerology students. So I always look at patterns and how people work with each other and don't get along. So as you always ask me, you know, what kind of day are you in today?
Which is not always asking. On a day like today, it's like there was a few things that happened this morning. It's like today's a wanky day.
We have days like that. So when we do your personal numerology, so in other words, Audrey is in a 35 over 8 year. And this being the month of August, so we add the number 8 to 35, that creates 43. Well, let's stop right there for a moment. One of our daughters is a 43-7 personality, which means the month of August, you get under her skin. It's cross paths. Mm. It's in my book.
Wait, which daughter is that?
The middle one.
Yes.
Okay.
And good thing we left.
Today, we add the number 18, and which creates 61. So today is a 61 over 7 day, which means that you don't want people challenging your beliefs. But it also means that people around you, your clients, people that you're responsible to, will sort of overwhelm. And a 7 day means, I just want to go run and hide. You need some reclusiveness, you know, why things are the way they are. And look, if you did your personal numerology every day, and a person can, you're going to see that you have days that are vibrationally up, vibrationally down, or they support or contrast with your personal numbers. And that's why we recognize, you know, how we feel about certain things.
This is how you can know to do your numbers from Nick's numerology book. Yes. It makes it super simple. And look how fun it is. It's, I don't know if you can see it. It's all kind of square. And you put the numbers on the side. It's a really interesting and fun way to do numerology. So
thank you.
We've got them here for you.
Next. And this,
can we go on to somebody else now?
Welcome to Audrey's World.
Can I just say something along those lines? Can I share something?
Please do. It's your show.
So we have all these moments in a life, and I have had this really interesting thing happen. I haven't even told Nick about it. I've had this thing that I have been dealing with for my entire life. And I tell my clients, you know, work through these challenges. And like I had a thing about my worth, and years ago, it took a kidney stone to get rid of it. And I had something recently, and it kept going back to this same program. I call them the programs that we take on in our lives, you know, those belief systems. Like I've said before, the belief system is the controller. Intention, attention, perception are the three buttons that create everything. So I've had this belief system around appreciation and acknowledgement, like for my whole entire life. And I don't need to go into all the details about it, but it came to a really big moment not too long ago. And, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I've got my things that I have to work through, right? So needless to say, it came up and it was in such a way that I just yet again felt really heavy in my heart and I just felt bad. And I just gonna say, I finally got to the nut of it. And I tell people it's somewhere in the 0 to 8 programming that we all take on as kids. And I guess whatever I had going in my chart was a great opportunity to look at it. Needless to say, I was able to look at the 0 to 8 and I was able to bring it back to, yet again, my mother. And I went into a contemplative state. So I'm literally saying I'm allowing for the answer to happen. You know, what the heck is this program? Because I don't want it anymore. And I haven't told you all this. So I'm remembering, and out of nowhere comes yet again my mother's letters that she had written to my father. And in the letters basically was the program, lack of appreciation, lack of acknowledgement, and her very much feeling alone. So I started looking at my mother a little bit more, and in her parents, there was the program. She was in her kid state a lot of the time alone, not appreciated. She was a girl, not a boy, and all these things. And then I looked at my stepfather and her relationship, yet again, the same thing. And it was like, ah, this isn't who I am. So this thing about appreciation, acknowledgement, it was her stuff. And I was able to really process it away for the first time in my life to just let it go. And it was such a beautiful moment for me. And it has been so much better. It's like, I don't have that same kind of pull on it. So what I was doing there is done.
Well, look, in your chart, I know your chart very well. You have the planet Saturn in the sixth house. And the sixth house rules your health, domesticated animals, day-to-day responsibilities, co-workers and subordinates. And it is a house that can be subservient behavior. So when the planet Saturn is in the sixth house, because Saturn is karma, fate, destiny, lessons learned, obstacles, authority figures. So when you put Saturn in the sixth house, it really ensures a bit of a Cinderella, you know, working, no appreciation, no gratitude, you know, workaholic. And also Saturn in the sixth house, you can also work to the detriment of your health.
And I have done that for sure.
So we have to be careful with that. So, and then, of course, as Saturn transits around everybody's chart, It will transit in the sixth house. And a lot of times when Saturn's in the sixth house, the person will feel as if they're invisible. And you have actually used those words. Well, lo and behold, Audrey, going back into early this year, Saturn went into your sixth house, and it will be in there until 2022. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know that. Here, I've said this to many clients. When people go through a challenging time and facing something that they have to work through, I always say, but the gods are not up on Mount Olympus with lightning bolts going, okay, we're going to screw with Audrey today. It just doesn't work like that. But we do have to karmically work through these things. And so as Saturn works through there, moves through there, you will have to work sort of feeling like nose to the grindstone. Doesn't anyone notice what I'm doing? But when Saturn goes into your seventh house, then you will see all of a sudden, like the little flower that all of a sudden in the spring has popped up, and there's, oh, there's buds, there's the bloom. But wait, there's more. Yeah, the Ginzu steak knives.
But wait, I want to say something really quick.
Go ahead.
So basically what you're saying is sometimes, so as an example, when we had our kids, we look at their charts, not to see who they're going to be, but kind of to see what the challenges are going to be and however we can assist them in working through the challenges. So I guess what we're saying here is that it goes into my house and it creates for me a lot of pressure. And because I do what I do and I've created all my tools, it's like, I'm really not wanting to feel this pressure anymore. Because in a lifetime, if you don't work through it the first time, the second time it's going to be worse. And then it gets worse and worse with all of these things. So the pressure for me at this point was like, I can't even go there anymore. So it really forced me to have to do the process around it. So.
And in Saturn means that you have to work through things.
Yeah.
Now for you and anybody that's watching, if you're somewhere between, you know, 58, your 59th birthday, and this is you next spring, Audrey, you get your Saturn return, which happens roughly every 29 and a half years. And the Saturn return means that you either sign, especially at your age, you either sign a new contract. Wow.
As a woman's turning 59, 58, it's like, we're like, let's not talk about the age business.
We are talking about when you have your first Saturn return around 29 and a half.
I remember
and
that
you're one. Full of, as we would say, full of wind, piss, and vinegar, ready to take on the world. It's a point of maturity and wisdom. When you have the second Saturn return between 58 and 59, that's at a point when you are evaluating where you are in life and do you want to take yourself up to a whole new level of work and, again, a karmic contract, or will you begin a de-evolutionary process where you begin to fall apart and you get to a point where you're comparing what meds you're on with your contemporaries? I have witnessed both in my clients. Mm-hmm. I've seen the up, I call it taking the up escalator or taking the down escalator. And the down escalator is a bar place to go. Now, when I had this happen a chunk of years ago, I made sure that everything that I was doing was taking things to a whole new level.
Yeah.
All right.
You did.
And that's why things are the way they are. Now, if you are around Audrey's age, you're 58, 59, and you're going to have your Saturn return, you want to know this in advance because you don't want to wake up one day and then I'd say, oh, a couple months ago, you had your Saturn return. You want to know this so that you start doing things and setting things in motion that are productive. It's healthy. Like for you, it's sixth house is health. So you want to be creating new health habits.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, also for you, because there are a couple major planets retrograde in your sixth house, things that you have been talking about, that's why things seem to be going slower than you want them to.
Mm.
Like they're sort of taking a few steps backwards before you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So look, the second Saturn return is really important. And if you want a third Saturn return, which would happen around age 87, and you want to be vibrant at 87, you need to do the right thing at the second Saturn return, which is take care of yourself, be mentally alert, you know, and do some kind of work. Because if you, and ironically, here's
something you're passionate about.
Passionate about. But here's the irony. Because when you get to age 59 and a half, there's something that happens in the United States that is imposed on us that they want us to look at. And that is when you can start to retire. And for people who have an IRA or who have qualified money at 59 and a half, you can start drawing off qualified money and not pay the penalty. So it's interesting what we have set up systematically, and Saturn is the system. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff is not an accident at all. So, you know, you're going into a very important time of your life. And like I said, anybody out there that's around this age, you want to be looking at what you're doing with your life right now. Are you thinking positively? And I know in a time like this, it can be challenging to be positive. And, you know, as I'm not going to read all this, but I was just making notes to myself. I don't think that of all the shows we've done, I've had so many notes prepared of all the things that we could talk about. Right now, we have Pluto retrograde until October the 4th. We have Saturn retrograde until September 29th. We have Jupiter retrograde until September the 12th. We have Neptune retrograde until November 28th. We have Uranus, which just went retrograde on Saturday until January 14th of next year. And on September the 9th, Mars goes retrograde, and Mars goes retrograde every other year. And the retrograde lasts until November the 13th. But here's the fascinating thing. Big planets, when they retrograde, it's kind of like slow motion. They go forward, then they go back a certain amount of degrees. When Mars goes retrograde, it's like it's bouncing off the walls. It goes way one way and way back the other way. And it's proven out where in a house in your, you know, in your chart, where Mars is normally in a house for 6 weeks, what I'm seeing is that Mars can be in a house for 6 months. So if you have a favorable Mars, then you're going to get a lot of energy and action on wherever that is. If Mars is challenged in your chart, then you may go through a time where you have a lot of impatience and things may not be, you may face a certain amount of adversity.
I think a lot of people are experiencing that right now.
They are. But the one that I want to focus on, and this is where we talk about, you know, mental health. Uranus went retrograde on Saturday, and Uranus is significant because it's the planet of quick change. It can be disruptive, and it's the freedom-seeking part of who we are. And Uranus is the ruling planet for Aquarius, and we've been talking about the Aquarian age, you know, a lot now. And so when Uranus is retrograde, and I did put a huge post up the other day on Facebook, you really have to watch your patience. And Uranus is the planet that can make us crazy. And so I know people right now are so impatient with being restricted. And Uranus retrograde can bring out the worst in us. And so we all know how we feel about COVID. I know when we on this show talk to people, 90% of people that are watching, we're preaching to the choir. But even though we know and we have a strong feeling about the way things have gone, we still have to exercise a certain level of patience with this and make gradual changes, because if we take the approach that we're just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, then we're not going to like the effect that we create. And it will create sort of a slingshot effect where we go like this and it comes back and hits us in the face. So, you know, this is a time for calm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you can take that part.
I think it's a time for calm. But what I share with my clients is it's really a time to be present, you know, to be in the moment and to acknowledge and just appreciate anything that you can. Like, for instance, if you've got a roof over your head, yay, it's a good thing. If you've got food going in your mouth, yay. You know, anything that you can, if you've got a, you know, relationship, if you've got friendships, appreciate anything and everything in the moment. And then there's that other part of it is creating a vision for the future. I think that is something that is kind of challenging to do because everybody doesn't know what the future is literally going to hold. I mean, Nick and I have been talking about this, and Jupiter is going to go direct on the 14th. So money is going to open up a little bit more on the 14th, right?
Yes.
So we can look at certain things and we can say, all right, I can hold on a little bit longer and know that things are going to get a little bit more open with that. We know that this COVID is going to end at some point. So we vision for the future and get excited about being with our friends again and get excited about hugging each other. And so you're here in the moment, be present with whatever is going on and continue to focus on what is working. And the other big thing is, can't even stress enough, when you're feeling what I call fear feelings and you're feeling angry, you're feeling anxious, a lot of times the anxiety is not literally about what's happening in this moment. Literally take the time to stop the car, stop your body, stop yourself, and look at what exactly is this. If I'm feeling anxious about a possibility, like I might get COVID, stop the car. I'm okay now, and I'm going to stay calm in this okay space. And there's a reason when you're more calm, you're creating a greater immune system. So there's all these tricks of being present in this moment, like appreciation, stopping the car, being present, all of this. And like I was saying earlier, what I did when I'm having this issue, process through it. There's a way to do it. Actually, I have a podcast about it. It's Fear into Power podcast. I'll put a link in the comments if somebody will remind me. So there's all these things that you can do. But like what Nick is saying, when you have all these planets in retrograde, it's literally kind of stopping everything. And the other thing I want to mention while I have my little high horse going.
Keep going.
Be patient with each other. This is a very taxing time because there is a huge divide between, and I can't even say it enough, be open to new information. Look for new information. If you're only watching mainstream news, expand your horizons. Start looking at different things, looking at different, just other opportunities for information. So if it's something that you're looking at and it's like, well, I am so disgusted by whatever, I can't even look at him, you know, be open to whatever is going on that you haven't looked at. I can't stress enough, this is a interesting moment and there's going to be a whole bunch of, let's just say, wild things going on.
And to bring into the mix, when you're talking about the deeper part of the mind, that's Neptune. Mm-hmm. Neptune rules your mental health and your psyche. Mm-hmm. And Neptune has been retrograde since June. It's not going to direct and for things, or when it's retrograde, is foggy brain. All right. And so it's about, we need to get to the truth. We need to have clarity. But the other thing is, Neptune retrograde creates sort of blurred lines where things are somewhat boundaryless. Mm-hmm. And in your personal life, look at your boundaries. Are your boundaries being encroached upon, or have you lost sense of boundaries and you're stepping on other people's toes? This is really important right now.
Okay, so I always joke around and I say, back when I first started going to a therapist, this therapist looked at me and she was like, Audrey, you don't have any boundaries. And I looked at her and I was like, I don't even know what that is. Is it like a fence? And she just, I mean, God bless her. So I want Nick to explain boundaries a little bit more, because I think it's important to have a clear sense of what that means.
Well, boundaries are a part of, well, first of all, that's part of the chakra at your feet, mm-hmm. you know, and your ability to ground and anchor into the environment. But boundaries mentally mean that you know what you will do, based on your intentions and also what you will tolerate. And a lot of people allow their boundaries to be encroached upon and feel violated when they never said anything and said, that doesn't work for me. So when you want to establish boundaries, you have to say, this is what I will do. This is what I will not do. In fact, with the new moon in Leo, and Leos are all about boundaries, all right? In fact, if a Leo says, don't cross that line, it's supposed to be mutual. When Leo says, don't cross the line, they're meaning they're not crossing. So with the Leo new moon, this is a good time to focus on the concept of boundaries. But with Neptune retrograde, everything becomes like, you know, a painting that got left in the rain and all the colors start running into each other and no one can see the boundaries on the canvas anymore.
So another thing that he's saying is this is a great time for constructive communication. And when somebody says, hey, let's do this, you're owning your ability to say, no, oh, but thanks for asking.
Well, you know, when it comes to business, a guy that I met when I was like 18 said, because I was tentative about calling customers, and said, no one will ever be insulted by an invitation to do business. And I've always remembered that. And that doesn't mean that people will refuse or reject, but it doesn't mean they're insulted because you asked, mm-hmm. because people have the ability to say no.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say no. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when someone says no, it's not a hardcore no. Sometimes it's not now.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
And if it's a not now, you know, use your constructive communication. Says, I don't want to do it now, but I'll consider it for the future.
Right.
Like we tell our one daughter who just is tenacious about things, we say, honey, I'll consider it for the future, but if you keep bugging me about it, I'm going to say no.
And she's a Leo.
She is.
So, yes, boundaries are really important. And when people are upset about feeling they've been taken advantage of, or maybe they have been taken advantage of, this is that inability to establish boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're talking about the planet Neptune. It is that part of your brain, you know, that part of the psyche. And when you're talking about how people are developed in the first 8 years of your life, that's all Neptunian stuff. It's all very subconscious, deep in the brain. And we take that stuff for granted. And the funny thing is, and this is really for people that have some sense of astrology, the common people that want to know in a reading, you know, when am I going to get married? When am I going to have kids? When am I going to get a better job? That's all the planets that are really from the sun all the way to Saturn. But a lot of people don't relate to the depth of the transcendental planets, which are Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Like, for instance, when Neptune is retrograde, work on your karmic baggage. When Pluto is retrograde, take out the trash. Look at what's not working in your life and what you've outlived. Could be a person, could be a thing. It could be habits and patterns that have been ingrained in there. But Pluto retrograde means get rid of, you know, the depths of what's not working.
So couldn't we say that we're all kind of in this retrograde together, and in this moment where we're all kind of locked up? It's like, this is just, I've been saying this since we
hold on
started.
It's officially new moon.
Hey, cheers.
Go ahead.
But basically what I've been saying since it started, it's a really good time to do all that, to, you know, dump the trunk, get rid of your excess baggage, work through your stuff. Because when this opens up, you do all of that, you will hit the ground running. And
exactly.
Those people that are just sitting there and they're glued to the TV and they're watching that news and they're depressed and they're feeling just, you know, hopeless, they're not going to jump up and get going when the time is ready to happen. So I can't stress enough, whatever.
And within 23 days of each other, from the Jupiter goes to when Pluto goes direct on October the 4th, that's only about 23 days. And that's three major planets to move forward. And I liken it to don't linger around the airport terminal thinking you've got extra time to catch your plane. Don't go back and then get in line and get a sandwich. be in line to board. Because when those three planets move forward and in the sign of Capricorn, which is very earthy things, things are going to shift. And trust me on this one. A lot of the things that you out there are worried about when this is going to be over and all this, it's coming soon. The big shift that we want is coming soon. So,
and it's a really big shift.
It is a huge shift. And as Audrey said a moment ago, you know, get ready to hit the ground running. Don't be lagging around. And even if fooled by that, have your plan ready. If you are working, get ready to work harder. If you're not working, get ready to go back to work because things are going to move, and be prepared.
Yeah,
because it's in Capricorn. The cool thing is that once we get into December, both Jupiter, which is growth, luck, money, expansion, goes into Aquarius.
What's that thing on the 21st of December?
There's two things. And let me go backwards and then forward. So everybody was talking about the big dimensional shift into 5D on April the 4th when Jupiter and Pluto aligned, which is a transformation of power. And those two planets are powerful. But then, like clockwork, when Jupiter and Pluto aligned in retrograde, July the 2nd, Saturn retrograded from lovely Aquarius, where things seem to feel more humanitarian, back into Capricorn. That's those two events started shutting everything down. There was no out here, no fireworks displays. Things were shutting down again. And all astrologers were able to look at that and just know, you know, we're going to lose our privileges again. All right. The upside is, after all these planets go direct, that on November the 12th, Jupiter and Pluto align again for the third time, but moving forward. So the door that opened and then closed back in our face is going to open forward again, and that door is going to stay open. And that is a big energetic shift. What you're talking about around December 22nd is when Saturn and Jupiter align, which happens, all right? And that will be a big shift in power. So here's the thing, that even when we get through the election and whoever is elected, and this is all countries in the world and all levels of office, all right, that there could be a shift where people are taken out of office, things of that nature. So if you're in office and you get elected and you sit back with a cigar, I wouldn't put your feet up. Because every 20 years when Jupiter and Saturn align, in fact, if you study astrological history and you go back when this occurs, and it stopped with Reagan, that there have been a lot of assassinations and people of power that have died in office,
wow,
especially in this country.
Wow.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. So I wouldn't rest on my laurels if I was elected. And me, I'm not running for anything. No, I'll run for the kitchen.
You run on the field too.
Right. So anyway, it's a lot. And look, folks, this has been a year where there's been more intense astrological alignments of major planets than we've had in a long time. And it takes a while for them to cycle around and catch up with each other. The Saturn Pluto thing that happened in January, that happens roughly every 34 to 38 years.
So it's kind of like we were destined to have this crazy ass year.
Oh, unfortunately, yes. And we all knew it. The astrologers all knew it. We saw it coming. But I said things about the intensity and things coming up. I didn't come out because no one's there batting down the hatches. But I did put a lot of warnings out about things that would happen. And
curious about something. This is also an election year, and it seems like every election year, it's like we've got some sort of something that we're dealing with. Is that an astrological thing as well, or is it just simply more of an election thing?
No, it's how the concept of elections have morphed in time. It used to be, you know, I remember being a little kid going back to the election 1960, 64. It was more about the platform that someone was running on to attract the voters. We go back over the last 20 years, it's all become about mudslinging and opening up people's skeletons in the closets. But people have to be careful with that, because remember what I said about this past January about Saturn and Pluto. We're going to find out where the bodies are buried, like it or not.
I think the bodies are coming to the surface right about now. It's fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to get revealed.
Look online. Just start looking around. Look at new news sources. There's all kinds of things that are going on. A lot of people having their bodies coming to the surface.
Yeah, truth. Truth is being revealed. And as we talk about this, you know, and Audrey will take with people, she'll take a very therapeutic approach to help people. But I can tell you, as an astrologer and a psychic, there's a lot of things that are going to get revealed that need to be revealed. And a lot of people are not going to be prepared for the impact of the truth and the reality that gets exposed. And that's what's supposed to happen in 2020. When Pluto and Saturn aligned, it was supposed to bring everything to the surface so the problems can be solved. Unfortunately, as the saying goes, sometimes the truth hurts. But this is
to move through it a little bit more gracefully. Again, turn off the news and start looking at other sources of information. Look up the word cognitive dissonance and see if there's a part that maybe might be applicable to you. Start opening up the possibilities. And above all else, really put your focus and attention on the solutions, divine right action right. taking place. Focus on anything and everything that'll bring your heart at least back to calm so that you can, you know, continue to think more clearly.
Yeah? Exactly. Yep. And you know what? We've used up our time.
Yep.
So thank you for watching. Audrey, thanks for allowing your stuff to come to the surface so you talk about it.
Next time he'll give me a little notice, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was very, very pure and organic. Next week, again, our guest is David Geiger, crystal guru and a bit of a mystic. He's very entertaining. And we thank all of you for watching and all of your input. And remember...
And share with your friends. We always want to say that at the end. We really appreciate you being here. And you can share this video on Facebook if you would like.
Absolutely.
We'd really appreciate it.
So remember, take care of each other.
Yes.
Take care of yourselves. And we will see you next week right here on Mainstream Metaphysics.
Have a good one.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. I've learned to just wait.
're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right.
Is it over?
Yeah.